Hello, this is Hugh Baird. I'm your moderator for this evening. I'm here with State Senator Vincent Hughes. We want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Hughes at any point this evening, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Hughes tonight, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Vincent Hughes.
Thanks, Hugh, and thank everybody for participating in tonight's call. As we say every month when we do these calls, some of our best ideas come directly from these conversations, the interactions with our constituents like this. This live telephone town hall is going to be pretty much focused on the governor's budget address, which he put out today, and any new updated information on where we are with that toxic school and toxic community issue. So if you have and anything else folks may want to talk about. If you've got anything that you want to talk about, anything you want to speak about, this format will allow you to listen in, offer your opinion, and even have a ask a question from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press *3 on your phone. So I'm going to repeat that again. If you'd like to ask a question at any time during the next hour, we'll be finishing up at 7 o'clock this evening, press *3 on your phone, and we'll try to get you on.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. And before we begin this discussion, again, just to reiterate what Senator Hughes has said, if you have a comment or a question you'd like to talk with Senator Hughes about, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. And, Senator, while we have some folks that are coming online, and we'll get them screened and up and with their questions and comments, today was a big day here in Harrisburg. We had the governor's annual budget address. What are some of the highlights that you saw from the budget address?
Well, before I get started, Hugh, today is February 4th, and it's my mother's birthday.
Oh, okay.
All right? So Mom usually participates
yes.
on the call, and I want to wish Mom a very happy birthday with many, many more to come. You still got to take care of me, Mom, because you know I can't do it by myself. All right.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Many more.
Many more. And all the folks, all your friends from the Martha Washington School where you used to work down at 44th and Aspen, 43rd and Aspen, every time I run into somebody from over that way in the neighborhood, usually at the supermarket, they always ask for you. So happy birthday, Mom. I love you very much. So now that I wish my mother a happy birthday, and you notice I didn't say how old she was. Because she would kill me if I did.
In her 30s.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. So as everyone knows, as we get down to the serious business, the state constitution requires the governor of Pennsylvania to put out his budget address on the first Tuesday of every February, the first Tuesday of every February. So always at this time, we hear from the governor, in this case, Governor Wolf, as been the history in the previous governors, Governors Corbett, Governor Rendell, Governor Ridge, Governor Casey, all those governors that we've worked with, that we've had the opportunity to analyze the state budget, hear where the governor wants to go with respect to state spending, and also talk about some new policy initiatives that he wants to try to get done. We're thankful that a number of the new policy initiatives that the governor wants to get done, Hugh, are issues that we've been spending a significant amount of time working on over the years. And it starts with the issue of our toxic schools and toxic communities. The governor announced a week ago in Harrisburg a commitment that he wanted to get done to drive almost $1.2 billion of new spending and federal spending into addressing the issues of toxic schools, toxic child care centers, and toxic homes. The unfortunate reality is because of the age stock of our houses, because most child care centers are in homes, and our schools, all of that infrastructure is well over 60 or 70 years of age. I think the average age of schools in Philadelphia are about 70 years of age. 90% of the housing stock in the city of Philadelphia was built before 1978, which means, and 1978 is a key year, as you know, Hugh,
mm-hmm.
because 1978 is the year that lead paint was outlawed. And lead, of course, is a very dangerous substance. And as I said earlier, we have old houses, we have old schools, and as I said, many of our daycare centers are home-based daycare centers. Just drive around the neighborhood and Haddington and Strawberry Mansion and Allegheny West and areas all across the city and the suburbs, many of our child care facilities are in homes. They've been reconverted, homes that have been reconverted into child care facilities, the daycare centers. And those are aged communities as well, aged buildings as well. So last Wednesday, and he followed it up again today, and that's always important because we want to make sure that when you have a major budget initiative like this that you're always talking about it, always staying on point. In the governor's budget address, he talked largely about $1 billion to deal with our toxic schools. And we are very happy with that. We've been out in front of public schools for years now, requiring more public attention to it, more investment, cleaning up of the schools, and all of that. And the governor saw that seriously and has jumped out on this issue and committed a significant amount of money to address it. He's helped out in the last couple of years with dollars for public schools, but this is a very substantial amount. We thank him for that. Our mission is to bring this home. Our mission is to get this mm-hmm. done by the end of June when the state budget is supposed to be done. So I need everybody to put a pin in that. If you're on social media, if you're sending letters, if you're sending emails, if you're doing Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or whatever, we should applaud the governor for that. And we should also applaud and we should also encourage public commitment to make sure that we continue to talk about this so that it becomes reality by the end of June. The governor also, once again, talked about the need to raise the minimum wage. Pennsylvania's minimum wage has not gone up has not gone up since 2009 when President Obama increased the minimum wage as part of the broad stimulus program in the Great Recession of 2008-2009. We passed a minimum wage increase in 2006 here in Pennsylvania and, in fact, signed that bill into law after church service at Sharon Baptist Church where Bishop Keith Reed presides. He's a good friend and a lot of community folks, a lot of labor leaders, a lot of people in general came together to do that bill signing. It was July in 2006. But that's been 13 years. Mm-hmm. 14 years now, Hugh, because
yep.
it's 2020. We haven't had a minimum wage increase. The governor's projection is to take the minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour right now, to take it to $12 an hour on July 1 of 2020 and $15 an hour by 2026 with a 50-cent increase every year after 2020. So that is, and a cost of living increase once we get to 2026 and the $15 per hour. So that has been rather significant, pretty important that he step up on that, and he continues that fight. We will never win that issue unless we convince the legislators here in Pennsylvania, which have the majority as Republican in both the House and the Senate, that they've got to get on board and they've got to get it done. And the only way that they will feel that, only way they'll move it is if they feel that kind of pressure. And hopefully 2020 will be a chance for real, real transformative change, not just in making a change in the White House, okay, but making a change in the state legislature, the state House and the state Senate, but also most importantly, changing the minds and the attitudes of the legislators up here so they can vote a minimum wage increase. It is hugely important. Minimum wage increase would mean thousands of dollars in low-income working families' pockets immediately. And right now, that's just not the situation. They need that money, and we need to get on point in getting that done. So the school infrastructure issue, the toxic school issue, was center in the governor's budget address today. The issue of raising the minimum wage was center in the governor's budget address today, adding more child care supports for low-income working individuals was also a centerpiece for in the governor's budget address today. And the governor spent a significant amount of time talking about the issue of guns and gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that 80% of the people in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania would support common sense gun laws, common sense gun changes in our gun laws, changing, for example, to a universal background check. Well over 80% of the people in the state of Pennsylvania support that, and I'm talking about folks in cities in Pennsylvania and folks in urban communities in Pennsylvania, folks in the South, the West, the Northwest, the Northeast, the Southeast. And, of course, in central Pennsylvania as well, what they call the T, the rural T, here in the center portion of Pennsylvania, they support that initiative. So the governor called for that. He asked us in appointed comments an extended amount of time in his budget address today. He talked about the issue of the need to change the gun laws in Pennsylvania. And it's common sense stuff, okay, the idea of automatic background checks and the idea of no semi-automatic weapons being available, AK-47s and Uzis and stuff like that. You shouldn't be able to have access to those kinds of weapons in the street. Those are military-grade weapons. They deserve to be utilized just by the military. Lost and stolen. If you lost a weapon or you think a weapon was stolen, you report that. You're required to report that. Should be. So simple stuff like that the governor talked about advocating once again for. We've been handling some of that legislation personally. I've introduced some of those bills personally. We will continue to introduce some of those bills. We'll continue to keep up that fight. But again, public pressure, public engagement is definitely relevant in moving those things forward. So Hugh, those are just a few of the issues that the governor talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about a lot more. If you want any details on some of the items that the governor talked about, always just go to my website, senatorhughes.com, and there'll be a complete layout of the governor's budget proposal and some of the things he's trying to get done in this budget. I think one of the other significant things I just want to drop on folks before we start taking calls,
mm-hmm.
Hugh, as the governor talked about one of the issues that we've been central on and playing and doing a lot of work in, and that's the issue of free and affordable college.
Right.
Free, you know, the word is still consistent. The word continues that if you go to college, you absolutely do a lot better financially and contribute a lot more to the broader community with that that advanced learning. But unfortunately, it's harder and harder for Pennsylvania residents to be able to afford to go to college. What we're encouraging, what we've talked about, quite frankly, is some other states have talked about free college or making college a lot more affordable. Governor introduced a proposal today to add to make about 25,000 students eligible if they attend the state system universities, so that's be Westchester and Indiana University of Pennsylvania, Kutztown University of Pennsylvania, and of course Cheney University of Pennsylvania, provide last dollar scholarships to those universities, to students attending those universities. That is significant, that is important, but it's also part of our free and affordable college initiative that myself, under the idea of PA Promise, and the Senate Democratic Caucus has taken leadership role on and has moved forward. So we're thankful for the governor on that, but these are proposals. They're not done. We had to fight for this stuff because it's important and relevant to our constituents and relevant to everybody that's on this call and even those folks who are not on this call. So that's the short, Hugh.
All right.
The governor's budget book is, as you know, about 500 pages long, documenting about $35 billion worth of spending. maybe even a little bit more than that, closer to $36 billion. And so if you want to find out more about it, SenatorHughes.com is the website to go to, SenatorHughes.com. But those are some of the just the highlights about what he talked about today.
Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, thank you, Senator. Just a reminder for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Hughes tonight about any issue, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, our first caller is going to go to Carla. Carla, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hi, Senator Hughes.
Hey, Carla.
I noticed that you're I think you know my niece. Her name is Donna Laws. I live at the English House.
I sure do.
Yes, yes, I hear about the budget and about the gun laws. It's well and fine, but, you know, the people, it's called English House Nursing Facility. It's not English House Nursing Home. And I'm talking about, because we're trying to get a proposal or have people sign a petition to have the, we get $45 a month, which is not that much if you want to pay for your phone and your cable, because people in here are under 65, and some people do work, and I think it's important, because with that $45, you can't do much. You can't go to a movie. You can't go to a concert. So I think it's very important. You know, when you came here, people were pretty vocal.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about that. They're talking about the budget, but that's part of the budget.
Yes, it is. So English House, I was just at English House 2 weeks ago with the governor, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Oh, when it had opening, grand opening.
Well, actually was with the governor 2 weeks ago when he talked about his new initiative largely for folks in the disabled community, individuals who are challenged, and was there probably about 6 weeks ago when we talked about when we cut the ribbon to open the Innovation Center over at the English House. So now I know English very well. We've helped get some major projects financed over there to build the expansion of English House.
Yeah.
So we love English House. English House is a state-of-the-art facility. But what I need to do, Carla, is check on and get some more details about that individual cash that you're talking about, so we can figure out how we can supplement that and maybe get a few extra dollars.
We have a group that's called peer counselors, and we go around talking to the residents. They have a problem, and we try and solve it by contacting people that can help.
Right.
Because this is a nursing home on paper. But then when you come here, it's not a nursing home. When you look around, there's not one thing on the board or on the signs that says nursing home. It says wheelchair community.
Okay.
And I think it's very important for them to know, the senators to know, there's a difference between a community and a nursing home. A community is you go out whenever you want, and you
right.
do things, but then with $45, you can't do much.
Right. So here's what
I think it's important.
Here's what I need you to do. I need you to call Tiffany Wilson.
Tiffany Wilson.
In my office tomorrow. I'm going to give you her number.
Okay.
215-879-7777. And we'd love to have the opportunity to sit down. She'll take all the details, all the information, and then we'll try to figure out how we can get some additional help. All right?
Okay. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you.
Take care.
Carla, thank you very much for your caller. If you have a question for Senator Hughes tonight, press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 if you have a question for Senator Hughes this evening. We're going to go to George in West Philadelphia. George, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Yes. Thank you, Senator. And
hey, George,
happy birthday to your mother.
thank you. I hope you. Tonight of all nights will be the night she's probably not on the call, but we'll see, okay?
Okay. My question is about my income tax. Last year you sent us to 52nd Street.
Uh-huh.
I was just wondering if this year it's the same thing.
Yep, we're gonna So here's, I'm glad you mentioned that, George. I am so glad you mentioned it. So this is a program that we do working with the Campaign for Working Families. Campaign for Working Families. This Saturday from 9 to 2, we'll be at 7630 Woodbine Avenue. Okay? 7630 Woodbine Avenue, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we will be helping folks get their taxes filed for free. Free. 7630 Woodbine Avenue at the Overbrook Church over there. 7630 Woodbine Avenue from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Working with the Campaign for Working Families. We'll be getting folks to file their taxes, and they start at 9, finish at 2, and it won't cost you a dime. And the folks with Campaign for Working Families will also assist you in filing your Earned Income Tax Credit application, so that when you file that application, a lot of people don't fill out that application, but that Earned Income Tax Credit application, you can get up to $2,000 to $3,000 for that. Mm. So we're doing that from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. this coming Saturday. That's the 8th, and it's at the Overbrook Church at 7630 Woodbine Avenue. All right, George?
George, are you there?
He heard me. George was paying attention.
All right, George was there. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, George, for the call again. If you have a question for Senator Hughes, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Wallace.
Yes.
In West Philadelphia. Wallace, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hey, Wallace.
Good evening, Senator Hughes. How are you?
All right, young man. How are you?
We're doing well. We're from St. Matthew AME Church, where you've
That's
been
a good church.
Yes,
That's
sir.
A good church.
Many times, and we appreciate, we love you, man. We love what you, when you're coming back to see us.
I got to go to my own church, Mount Carmel, a couple times, man. You know, come on.
Okay, we understand that. I was just talking with my family, and my biggest concern is, where are all of these weapons coming from? You know, we can't go to the stores and buy them. Most of our young people who have them, they can't get them legally. So what is the illegal component that's bringing weapons into our community, and how can they be stopped? How can they be intercepted and stopped, you know?
A lot of folks are getting guns. For example, if you go to a what do they call them? An outdoor show,
a gun show.
You can get. They do not do a good job in terms of background checks at the gun show, if at all. Okay.
It's a big one here in Harrisburg this week.
Right, and then there's a big outdoor show.
Right.
In Harrisburg this week. And I know it's big because all of the hotel rooms are booked up in Harrisburg.
Right.
Okay, all of them, all right, for miles around. And so what happens at these outdoor shows,
right,
they'll have a little setup by some of the licensed gun dealers to sell their guns. But yeah, there's no requirement around background checks, or the requirement is very limited. So people go to these gun shows, they buy a bunch of guns, thank you, they buy a bunch, hold on, they buy a bunch of guns at these gun shows with no limit, and then they come back into the city and they sell them.
Well, you see, that's what I'm talking about. There should not be, one person doesn't need to buy 24 guns.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? Why are you leaving a gun show with a station wagon full of a van full of guns? There's got to be some kind of way to take, you know, some kind of measure against that. You know what I mean? It's clearly, you know, something wrong with that. So, you know, it's a little thing.
That's why we talk about, Wallace, that's why when you hear me talk about, what's the contact information? That's why when you hear me talk about universal background checks, that means that even at these outdoor shows and these gun shows, that you cannot sell a firearm without a full research, detailed, authentic background check. Okay?
Yeah.
We need to that whole system needs to be improved from the federal government all the way down to the locals. But you can do that at some of these gun shows, and folks are just buying them and selling them, and then they transport them into Pennsylvania. They get them here in Pennsylvania, transport them all around the country. It's just out of control, as you know.
Well, I'm saying the governor should know that. His office.
Oh, he does.
That. And it should be something set up. It should be set up, something set up at the shows to make sure that that kind of thing is, you know what I mean?
There's been some talk about increasing some level of oversight, some observation about what's going on. We are working with the Attorney General, Josh Shapiro. He has an operation called the Gun Task Force, okay? And he has a multi-level investigative operation where the city police are working with the state police, are working with the FBI and the federal law enforcement folks, and everybody's working together to find these guns and to also find these folks who are illegally trafficking in these weapons. But I'm glad you raised that up. It is a huge problem that, quite frankly, has a lot of public support, but because of the way the politics are these days, it's very difficult to break through. But we're still finding ways, and we're still going to keep on going with that. All right, Wallace?
We pray God blesses you to find any kind of measure you can, Senator. Thank you so much.
We're going to. And be clear. You know, there's a lot of ways we have to deal with this. You know, we have to get these illegal guns out of our communities.
Yes.
But we also have to change the mindset of people.
Exactly.
That if they've got a beef with somebody, first thing they do is pull out a gun and start shooting. Okay?
Exactly. Yeah.
You can't expect communities to be safe if you've got a disagreement with someone, you shoot them. Communities not going to be safe. It's just not going to happen that way. Okay?
How do we bring that message home to the people who need to hear it? You know?
I think it's incumbent upon all of us to start communicating that message. All right? You know, I looked at, you know, for a few minutes, I watched the Super Bowl on Sunday, just for a few minutes, you know, root for Andy Reid, okay? And those commercials were $11 million for, a 30-second or 60-second commercial?
60-second, I think.
$11 million for a 60-second commercial. Can you imagine if we spent $11 million trying to convince people in the community to live a peaceful life, not be involved in shooting and not always be violent all the time and picking up a weapon to deal with a beef or deal with a problem, but really communicated the message of peace, you know, that might have an impact, especially if you're spending that kind of money, you know. So we got to do that. Our pastors got to be involved in it. Community leaders have to be involved in it. Block captains, committee people, all kinds of good-thinking people like yourself have got to be involved in communicating a message of peace and not always picking up a gun to solve a problem. All right, Wallace?
Well, we do thank you for championing our cause this state, Senator. We love you. God bless you. You and your dear wife, a great year ahead, all right?
Thank you very much. I'll be back over there over at St. Matthew AME. Don't worry. I'll be over there. All right.
Well, I've been a little sick and I haven't been there, but I hope I'm there when you come.
Take care, man.
Look forward to seeing you. Take care.
Thank you.
Right.
Wallace, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go to Connie, but before we do, just a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Hughes tonight, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. We'll get you live talking with Senator Hughes as quickly as possible. We're going to go to Connie. Connie, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hi.
Hey,
I hope everyone's doing well. Just respectfully want to say happy birthday to your mother. That's a blessing to still have you, Mom. And I'm happy she's here to be celebrated.
Fine. I may be married to the dream girl, but that's my number one girl right there, Mom.
And I appreciate your town hall. Really, I think it's a nice thing that you do. My question, and everything I say is done with a humble, respectful spirit, not to offend anyone, but my parents paid for my college education, and my mother did not go to college. My father didn't graduate from high school, but they prepared along the way. Like back in the day, PSF used to have the vacation club and the Christmas clubs and things like that. they would put money aside. A little bit can add up over the years. So when we were born, they just start putting money aside in hopes that we would do something. And so, you know, even though we want to do free education, which I respect that, sometimes there's things we could do as parents, which I don't have any children, to maybe even prepare for your kids to take some responsibility too, those that can.
Yeah.
Maybe put some things aside to kind of help the situation along the way also.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thought.
Let me speak to that, because I think you make a good point there. You're a young person, Connie. I know this, but you know, when you were back when you started out, you know, college was very inexpensive, and over time it has become extremely expensive, and so the idea is to try to force the conversation to make it free and or affordable. And so one of the things that we're able to do is, I guess it was 2 years ago, working with the treasurer's office, the state treasurer, Joe Torsella, we've got a program established that every newborn in Pennsylvania will have a savings account set aside. It's called a 529 account, tuition assistance program, a 529 account, where, and I think it's $25, Hugh, is the initial deposit.
I think so, yes.
$25
is when they're born. It's established.
Exactly when they're born, that account is established with a $25 initial donation made by the state. And then what happens is that family has the responsibility then to continue to donate into that account. And those accounts are tax-free accounts. All right.
Okay.
So any interest earned on those accounts is free. And I'm just, as we're talking, Connie, I'm going through my notes. I pulled up on my phone, and I'm Hugh, you and I are both wrong. It's $100, not $25. It's $100, okay? And the program is called Keystone Scholars, okay?
Okay.
So what that does is that puts that $100, it gets the account started. Now it's up to the family to contribute into that account over time, and then when it's time to utilize that account, when you graduate high school and you're ready to go to college, you have a nice chunk of change put aside to help pay for those expenses. So that's that self-responsibility piece that I think you're referring to.
Yeah, that would just help, even if it doesn't cover it. Like for me, when I went, I was going to go out of state, and I realized when you go out of state, it was even more expensive, so I chose to go to Penn State in state, which was cheaper. But I'm 66 now, so I'm retired. But anyway, it's like...
There you go. Well, it
must
have worked out if you could retire at 66.
Yeah, I'm 66 retired. But
okay.
The other question I have with the schools is that over the years, there was asbestos issues since I was teaching. Who's responsible for making sure the schools are inspected? Like you inspect elevators and you have yearly inspections of things. Who's responsible for inspecting the schools that all of a sudden out of the clear blue now there's this big asbestos problem when it was probably going on for a while? Is anyone responsible for the schools inspection?
I think it's mandated by the EPA, okay, at the federal level, for regular inspections, okay? And I think there's a book maintained at every school, or supposed to be a book that's maintained at every school that documents when that federal inspector comes in to inspect those schools. Now, I could be wrong, so I'll put a pin in that. I could be wrong. Ultimately, the School District of Philadelphia has a responsibility to maintain clean and safe environments for teachers to teach, workers to work in, and most importantly, for children to learn. But there may be some federal responsibility that goes in, and maybe, Hugh, as I think a little bit more, around the lead issue, okay, to monitor those schools. And as I said, I believe they're supposed to keep a book at each school that when they come in to monitor, that they
sign the book.
They sign the book, and then therefore is a record. But all in all, it is the school district's responsibility. A lot of the problem is an issue of who's paying for it. Where's the money coming from? And our big cry right now, since the school district of Philadelphia has been underfunded for so many years, is that more dollars come into the mix. But I want to say this, Connie, and everybody listening on the call must understand this. This is a statewide problem. This is not just
the situation.
Yes, this is not just, and let's be clear, I'm not talking about asbestos alone. Lead, asbestos, mold, infestation, and just crumbling schools. I was in the Randolph Skill Center up there on Henry Avenue, way back, I'll say it was December, and it was early in the morning. I think we were up there about 6:30 in the morning, and it was raining outside. It was a rainy morning. And I went in the school, started touring the school. It was literally raining inside the school, in the shop room where they had the electrical equipment where the kids were supposed to learn. Now, fortunately, there were no kids in there at that time, no students in there at that time, and the equipment was unplugged, all right? So that's a good thing. But it was raining inside the school. But this is a statewide problem. Last Tuesday, the Scranton School District announced that 12 of the 16 school buildings in their school district had an asbestos problem. 12 of the 16 school buildings in that school district, and they only have 16 school buildings in that district, and as a former educator, you know how small that is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got over 250 school buildings in the Philadelphia school district. They only had 12. 12 of them had an asbestos problem.
Wow.
So this is a statewide problem. The school buildings across the state are old. And it, quite frankly, financially, it is the state's responsibility to step up, okay, and make the necessary investment. Pennsylvania still has the worst funding formula of just about every state in the nation in terms of equitably funding schools and funding them at the level that they need to be funded in. So everybody's got to get engaged in this fight.
That was why I didn't know who was really responsible. It's a shame that it's gotten – because we had asbestos where I live, and they had to come in and they removed some and they encapsulated some of the situation where their asbestos was. But that is important to address. I wasn't sure who was technically responsible to let it get to the extent that it has, where now the schools are closing. But thank you for giving me that information.
There you go. And look, if you know folks who want to get involved in this issue, who you know folks who want to join the fight, all they have to do is give my office a call, 215-879-7777, or they can just go to my website, senatorhughes.com. All right, Connie?
Connie, thank you very much for your call, Senator. We're going to go back to callers. We're going to go to Denise. Denise, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Good evening. I was just wanting to comment on the morals of our house. How are you? I'm at 29th in Allegheny. I was with the 38th. I was a committee person for 25 years. And I'm just glad you continue to fight. Yes.
29th in Allegheny, right?
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. That's my friend's neighborhood, Ralph Winder.
Yes, I was under him and under Ann Land and then Oscar Davis and on and on.
Ooh.
So I'm no longer a committee person. I've gotten a little younger. But I just wanted to comment on the morals, the gun problem that we have. We need more morals. We need to be more morally active with our children, and they need to learn. They need to be taught, sent to church. You know, they need to, you know, the neighborhood, we need to reach out to them. And the TV shows, they're so violent. They are about killing and killing. And then, as we saw in the commercial with the Super Bowl, they don't think about the children because some of that stuff children shouldn't have seen. And, you know, I just think that we need to do more as parents. Check your children's room, check your children's closet. When my son was in his a teenager in his 20s, he's no longer alive, but I checked his room and I found a gun, and I got rid of that gun because it shouldn't have been there. But a lot of parents, they don't want to check their own children. The guns are there, but you know your child's involved, and we need to get active. We can't put it on our politicians. We have to put it on all of us. It takes a village. And thank you very much for taking my comment.
Well, thank you, and you keep holding it down over there at 29th and Allegheny. We appreciate you. It's a great neighborhood. Really is a great neighborhood. I think, look, the idea of as we work on the laws to make guns harder to purchase, harder to get across the state of Pennsylvania and nationally, quite frankly, as we, you know, try to find more resources to give our young people – more summer jobs and more year-round jobs after school and keep them occupied and have them learning additional skills and meeting new people and expanding their horizons, which we were able to announce $1 million for that effort back in the fall of 2019. As we do all of that, we do have to get much more fully engaged in this whole issue about changing the minds and attitudes of our community around how to engage with one another and how to work out issues and work out differences peacefully. And everyone can be involved in that, from messaging in your computers, in your commercials, on TV and radio and what have you, to just generally how we work and engage with one another and how we talk with one another and how we can teach peace to one another, especially adults to young people, and at the same time, young people to other young people. That peer-to-peer counseling, I think, is extremely, extremely important as well. So we're advocating for that. We've got something that we're working on in our internal staff to try to come up with something that we can advance to help promote safer and sounder communities through this whole context of peace. You know, Dr. King was about that. Gandhi was about that, and all powerful messages about how to engage with one another, and we need to pursue that as well.
Denise, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Yvonne. Yvonne, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hi, Senator Hughes. How are
hey,
you?
Hey, Yvonne. How you doing?
Okay.
Right.
Senator Hughes, I'm calling. My husband worked for the city, worked for the recreation department.
Uh-huh.
And he died a year ago.
Oh, boy.
It's not even been a year. I don't know if you know him, Jimmy Lewis.
That name's familiar.
Yeah, he worked at what's Mill Creek down here.
Okay.
I'm finally getting his paperwork and stuff, and I want to know, am I able to file his income tax?
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do a couple things. If you can get to our event this coming Saturday from 9 to 2 at 7630 Woodbine Avenue. We're doing this in partnership with the Overbrook Park Association. All right? We're campaigning for working families. Someone there should be able to help get you started in answering your question and get you on your way. If you can't make it there, I got two other options.
Okay.
Campaign for Working Families is the organization that we're working with for this coming Saturday's program. We're working with them, and their website or their phone number, let me say this way, their phone number is 215-454-6483. 215-454-6483. And their website address is cwfphilly.org. cwfphilly.org.
Okay.
All right? They are a nonprofit organization. All of their tax preparers are IRS certified.
Okay.
They have a 90, their percentage on accuracy is almost 100%, okay? And they do it for free.
Okay. I just didn't know. You know, I've been a little confused.
They will answer that question. And if they're not able to answer, just call my office and ask to speak to Tiffany Wilson.
Okay. All right, Hughes, thank you so much.
Take care. Good luck, okay?
All right.
Vaughn, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go to Arsenia. Arsenia, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Good evening, Senator.
Hey, Arsenia, how you doing?
I'm doing just great, and I am also a member of Mount Carmel.
There you go.
So I'm calling because I know, you know, what I have to say is very worthy, and you can let me know. I haven't been a member of Mount Carmel as long as you have been, but do you know if they have ever had a gun program workshop at Mount Carmel for the neighborhood politicians and so forth. Have they had anything like that? Because, I mean, you know, this is something not only needed in North Philly and South Philly. This is needed in the whole United States of America and all over this gun violence. And I think we need to get it out because the young people, of course, we're saying they're the ones have them, but they have them in homes also. So that's why, you know, they're able to put their hands on guns. So if we haven't had one, I went to a gun violence program at the lady was talking earlier. It was at the Christ Evangelist Church at 30th and Diamond.
Okay.
And they had it out in the parking lot. They had the loud speakers and all, inviting the neighbors to come out. And she said they had sent letters to the politicians in that area, the policemen, the firemen, and the other churches in that area. And I don't, you know, of course, the show was very, 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 very small. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the politician, and she said it was during the election time, so possibility they were out, you know, during the elections and that point. But this was also important, I thought, you know.
I can't say
the time was bad.
Arsenio, we should talk to Pastor Moore about this.
That's what
okay.
I said. I know he would definitely say amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a good man. You know, he's working very close. He's got the church working very closely with the Barry School to try to help get the food to the kids over there.
I work at the Barrett School on Thursdays when we go to tutoring.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I go on Thursdays for that. And I was there, and that's something we got to do. I was there that Friday. They had prepared for 100 people.
Yep.
And I'm going to say if we had 25, because I didn't just want to go and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but just looking at the people there, along with Mount Carmel, we had more people came out to serve and help than we had people that came out from the neighborhood. So that was something I was going to say, you know, that how we can get that out to the neighborhood since we're going to do it on the third Friday of each month, you know, something we can do, you know, to get the people out to come and at least, you know, eat the food and, you know, have a little fellowship with them. Who knows what may happen that following Sunday.
But with that gun violence,
you know, that's what I was just, I know we don't want to combine those two together, no, because that's another program, but you know, this gun violence, if we could, you know, have something there. And like you say, talk to Pastor Campbell, and I'm sure he would go along with it.
I know you miss Pastor Campbell. He was my friend. But we got to talk to Pastor Moore, all right, and check with Reverend Moore, see what he would do. But I'm pretty sure he's a good man. He's doing great stuff at Mount Carmel and great stuff in the community as well. And so we'll just have to raise that with him and see if he'd be willing to go down that path, okay?
Arsenio, thank you very much for your question. Senator, before we go back to the questions, if anybody has a question for Senator Hughes, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Dee Butler. Dee, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Okay.
What's up, Dee?
Hi, it's Dee Butler Cannon. I just wanted to piggyback on the college funding. As a former teacher in the Catholic schools, I'm interested in finding out, is this funding going to, like, cross over also to, say, trade schools? Because all the kids are not always cut out for college, but they may have a skill, you know, that is good for the community or something to learn. I mean, we're always going to need construction workers, electricians, beauticians, so would that cover for them to be able to have assistance?
Here's what I think we need to do, because your point is on time. The initial proposal from the governor is just to deal with the students who are attending the state system universities. And you know what those state system universities are. You know, Millersville University, Shippensburg University, Chain University, Westchester. It's 14 of them. I'm not going to name them all.
Yeah, I know.
But it is a proposal, and it's the right kind of proposal. The question is, can we expand that to deal with the trade schools, maybe even community colleges, all right? I do know that the governor has expanded help in his budget proposal for community, for trade schools, and trying to do a better job with career and technical education. That's what the new term is now, mm-hmm. Career and technical education, so that folks who are not, who want to do stuff with their hands, who want to do carpentry, who want to do electrical, who want to sheet metal workers or things like that, that they can have that opportunity too. So I think you've suggested something worthy, and you need to advocate for it, and we'll check with some of our colleges and see what they and what the governor might be interested in expanding his proposal to support those individuals as well.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right, just stay connected to our website, SenatorHughes.com. If you're not on our email list, where we send out almost weekly email blasts to individuals about various issues that are going on in Harrisburg, call my office at 215-879-7777 and make a request that you want to get on our email, our e-blast, or you can go to the website and you can get connected there as well. All right?
Thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Denise. Denise, go to your doctor, Senator Hughes.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on over there with nothing, child. Everything's cool with me. You all right?
We'll call right back.
Denise, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes.
Hey, Denise.
Hi. Hello, my name is Denise.
How you doing?
Happy birthday to your mom and everybody.
Thank you.
I'm calling about what can be done about abandoned homes, empty lots, and abandoned cars. I've been living in this neighborhood almost for like 25 years, and I'm under the Ralph program, Allegheny Huntington Park Association.
Yeah.
Ridge Allegheny Huntington Park Association.
Yep.
Yes, and I have an issue. I've been living next door to this lot for almost like 6 years, and it's an empty lot, abandoned houses, and abandoned cars. I've been calling my city councilman, Curtis Jones. I've become my ward leader. I've been calling everybody I can possibly call. And I'm having an issue. So what can be done about these abandoned homes, empty lots, and abandoned cars?
Well, here's what I need you to do. If you have a list with specific addresses, okay, as many addresses, as much specificity as possible, if you could call our office and ask for Tiffany Wilson and give her those specific addresses and information, then we have to work usually with the city for property, like lots and abandoned lots, or abandoned houses. We usually have to work with the city to try to get them addressed. Okay.
Right, because what I did call 311, and I was given confirmation numbers, and they would say it takes 20 days before someone can come out. And they say each time that I call, I have to give that confirmation to the confirmation number.
Mm-hmm.
So I did reach out to 311, and I spoke to her. Her name was Tina, mm-hmm. and she gave me the numbers, the confirmation numbers.
Why don't you do this, Denise? Call my office, ask to speak to Tiffany Wilson, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And give her the same information that you've given those individuals at 311. Maybe if we get that information, we can try to make that 20 days go a lot faster.
Okay.
Right?
And what is the office number again, please?
215-279-779-7777.
Oh, that's 47s?
That 1234, absolutely. I did it so you wouldn't forget it, Denise, all right?
All right.
Get that phone
but I've been on this case for almost for almost 6 years. I've been reaching for help. I'm just like I don't know where to turn to. I'm just like, you know, I'm just going crazy right now. And
don't
it's
go crazy.
My property.
Don't go crazy. Call Tiffany. Don't go crazy. All right?
All right, then.
All right, Denise. Take care now.
All right.
Thank you.
Denise, right. Thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're coming down the home stretch here. I know you have some concluding remarks for those that have joined us.
Yeah, just want folks, and we try to do these telephone town halls every month. We try to get one in every month. We'll be doing this again in March. We'll send a notice out to everybody. You'll get a phone call from me when it's getting ready to happen. But pay attention, you know, because it's one thing to deal with individual problems, Hugh.
Yes.
But it's equally as important, if not more so, to deal with the broader issues, so that we can get some serious attention to some of these broad issues and get extra resources to help deal with some of these individual issues. So stay tuned to the governor's budget. He put it out today. I'm sure there'll be news accounts on it this evening and probably also in tomorrow's newspapers. Stay connected to my office at senatorhughes.com. Our office address is 2401 North 54th Street, 2401 North 54th Street. We're open the Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And you can call my office at 215-879-7777, 215-879-7777. And finally, we just want to remind everybody one more time, Hugh,
mm-hmm.
this coming Saturday, our free tax preparation program that we're working in cooperation with the Overbrook Park Civic Association and also the Campaign for Working Families. That's going to be from 9 to 2 at the Overbrook Park Church of Christ, which is at 7630 Woodbine Avenue. All right? In addition to the free tax preparation and the earned income tax credit filing, we've also got some housing workshops that will go along while people are in the process of getting their taxes addressed. So if you have any questions, senatorhughes.com is the website, or 215-879-7777.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate everybody who has joined us here this evening. Just a reminder, if you didn't have a chance to ask Senator Hughes a question, just remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question in a voicemail for Senator Hughes and Tiffany. And they'll be able to get back to you.
Always ask for Tiffany Wilson when you call my office.
And again, to reach Tiffany in the office, the number is 215-879-7777, or Senator Hughes' website is senatorhughes.com. Thank you for joining us here this evening, and have a pleasant remainder of the evening.
Thank you.